The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Jesus is moved to sorrow when his friend Lazarus falls ill and dies. Then in a dramatic scene, he calls his friend out of the tomb and restores him to life. This morning, I invite you to go ahead and sit down. We do have a little bit longer reading this morning. I invite you to sit and listen to the story. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lenten season is drawing to a close. We have only 2 weeks left. This week is the last week, or the regular week of Lent. It's the last week that we do our Lenten rotational here in town. And then on Sunday, next Sunday, then we hear that Passion account. It's Palm Sunday, and we have the procession of palms coming in, and we hear that Passion account of all the events that Jesus went through. Now, our gospel lesson this morning kind of leads up to that. Actually, John puts this right before that Palm Sunday story. And there's many aspects of this story that is a foreshadowing of what is still yet to come for Jesus. But it also tells us who we are and how we interact with God and with each other, how God intended us to be. And so this morning I'd like to look at this story and compare some of the aspects that are here in this story with what happened to Jesus, and then also what's in store for us. One of the aspects of the story, it begins with the introduction of who Mary is. Mary is introduced as the one who washed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. In that day and time, as you probably realize, most people didn't wear cowboy boots or tennis shoes. When they moved anywhere, they walked. It was only the wealthy people who rode anything. And so you can imagine the people then would either wear just sandals strapped onto their feet, or they would go barefoot. You can just imagine what they stepped in or stepped on, or all the dust that came around their feet. So it was common practice that if you went into somebody's house as a good host or a hostess then, you would have your servant wash their feet. And if you were a very good host or hostess, you would even put a little bit of perfume on their feet. And so that's the story here. But then that's also a foreshadowing of what is still yet to come. If you remember then, in that midst of the Holy Week, on that night of the Last Supper, as the disciples came in, it was Jesus who took a basin and a towel, and he stooped down, and he started to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus should have been the head of the household. He should have been the leader, but instead he takes the lowest place, the form of a servant. And it's a foreshadowing of who Jesus actually is. Or it tells us what kind of head of household, what kind of boss, what kind of leader, what kind of king Jesus really is. That he is the King of Kings, but at the same time, he is the servant. And so as we look at that then too, it tells us of who we are. That as we call ourselves Christians, as we call ourselves followers of Christ, that servanthood is one of those things that we put on as well then too. That we should be willing then to stoop to the lowest level in order to help one another. To help people within this world. To help serve God within this world as well. As we're looking here at this washing of the feet, actually the words that were used here in our gospel story is anointed the feet of Jesus, that Mary had anointed the feet of Jesus. Anointing was used in that day and time and for two respects, one in the anointing of kings and the other in anointing of death. And both of those are foreshadowing then of what happens to Jesus, that Jesus is anointed the king. If you remember in the crucifixion story, rather than oil poured on his head as a king would have in his service, in his anointing service as a king would become a king, they would pour oil on his head. Instead, Jesus had a crown of thorns thrust upon his head. Again, it tells us who Christ is and what Christ was willing to do to bring salvation to us. We too are anointed as well in our baptisms. We are anointed into that death and that resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are given the promise that even though we are sinners, that even though we have been born into sin, we are washed clean of that sin and we are made worthy to enter into that kingdom of God. As I mentioned before, it's also an anointing of death. And that plays into the Easter story as well. If you remember, the women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus in his death, to bring spices, to bring perfume for the body of Jesus there in the tomb. For us too, we are ready for death as well, because in our baptism we are anointed that we know that even though we shall die here in our mortal bodies, we shall be raised to a new life with Christ. Another important aspect of this story today is the actual death of Lazarus. Lazarus dies, and it's very tragic, a very tragic death. Lazarus was probably a fairly young man, maybe about the same age as Jesus, in his young 30s, maybe mid-30s. Mary and Martha, there's never a mention of any husband or any other brothers or fathers or anybody else for them. Women in that day and time had to be attached to a man, whether it was her husband, whether it was her father, or in this case, Mary and Martha were attached to Lazarus because they were siblings. Women did not have very many rights. There were not very many job openings to them. If they had no attachment, the only options left for them was to either beg in the street or to become prostitutes. And so it was very tragic then for Mary and Martha. Not only have they lost a brother, but they have lost their life. Basically, they are dead too in this life because there are not very many options open for them. And so in the midst of this death, there is a lot of emotions going on. There is sadness. You can see the whole crowd there trying to console Mary and Martha. The crowd is grieving as well then too. Evidently, Lazarus was a respected man, and many people loved him, and so that they were grieving. We also see maybe some anger here in this story that surrounds the death. When Jesus comes towards Bethany, Martha meets him on the road and says, "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." And you can take that in several ways. Mary said the same thing when she went and saw Jesus. "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." And maybe there's some disappointment in that as well then too. Or maybe there's a little bit of guilt that they didn't stress to Jesus that you needed to get here earlier. A lot of emotions are flowing around in this story, centering around on this death. It's a foreshadowing of what is still yet to come. Because then, as we move into that passion account, all the things that surround the death of Jesus and the emotions that go there. One disciple betrays Jesus. Another disciple denies Jesus. The rest of the disciples scatter. They run away. There's fear. There's anger. There's disappointment. There's disbelief. There's confusion. All surrounding that death of Jesus Christ. There's even some joy from the enemies of Christ. "We got rid of him." There's taunting. There's laughter. All the whole range of emotions that go along with that cross. For us too, it tells us who we are, because we too know death. Just about everybody here has lost somebody that they love. And you too have gone through those range of emotions. Whether it is doubt, our denial, our anger, our fear, our sorrow, our grieving, or maybe even guilt, regret, a sense of loss. All those emotions wrap around us at that time of death, when we lose people that we love. But it's also a reminder too of each of us. One day, each of us who are sitting here today will also die. There's a 100% chance of that. I guess maybe not a full 100% chance. The only reason that we wouldn't die is because Christ comes back again in our lifetime. But it's a reminder to us that one day we will face death. Another important aspect of this story is the stone in front of the tomb. The bedrock, or the rock, the foundation of that place in that area of Israel, the rock is fairly soft, and so it's very easy to chisel out caves or burial plots. And that's usually what a family did, is they usually had a family burial ground. They would take a side of a hill, and they would hire somebody, or they would do it themselves, and they would carve out burial plots for their family members. Or in other cases then too, maybe a community would have a community burial plot. And so that was the way that they buried people. And then to keep animals out, to keep the smell in, they also carved an opening for that cave and had a huge round stone, a flat stone. It was round. And if you can kind of picture what it looks like to have a sliding shed door, that's what the door looked like to these caves, to these tombs. Instead of the door sliding, though, it rolled along a track. But it was very heavy. It took several people to move that stone out of the way. As Jesus told them to remove the stone, there's an argument that happens here in our story today. Martha is always the practical one. If you remember the other story of Martha, she's the one who was in the kitchen preparing the meal while Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and she's the one that says, "Mary, come in here and help me." She's always the practical one. She's the one who looks at details. She's the kind of person who makes the world run to make sure that things are taken care of. And so when Jesus says, "Roll the stone away," Martha gives him an argument and says, "Jesus, he's been in there for 4 days. You know what a body smells like after 4 days of death?" But that didn't stop Jesus. It didn't stop Jesus. But even that is a foreshadowing then of what's going to happen on that Easter day. That, again, there's somewhat of an argument about the stone being rolled away. As the women were going there on that Easter morning to bring spices, to bring perfumes, to anoint the body, they're having a discussion or an argument. How are we going to get that stone out of the way? How are we going to get into the tomb to visit Jesus? A foreshadowing was still yet to come. And again, they're tied up in the details. Like Martha was tied up in the details of the smell of the body, the women were tied up in the details of how that stone was going to be rolled away. In both cases, they didn't realize what Jesus could do, the power that Jesus had. And that speaks to us as well then too. We get so wrapped up in the details of our daily lives, of what's going on from day to day, that we forget the power, the might, the majesty, the glory of God, and what God can do within our lives, what God is capable of doing and will do within our lives. We get wrapped up in details rather than seeing the picture of who God is and what God can do. And then one of the most important aspects here in this story is actually the resurrection. Jesus shouts out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And Lazarus comes out. The dead man, it says the dead man comes out. And he's wrapped up in all the burial cloths. that they've got him wrapped up in. And Jesus tells them, unbind him and let him go. He's free. He's alive. He's well. He's come back from the dead. And of course, this is a foreshadowing of what's going to happen to Jesus. That Jesus, too, after he is killed, after he is murdered, comes back to new life and is raised from the dead. He conquers death. Even death cannot hold him down. And he is raised to a new life. For us, too, it tells us who we are. That even though we live in these mortal bodies, even though we are subject to decay and we are subject to death, there is new life for us. There's new life breathed into us each and every day so that we can give thanks and worship and praise God and live with one another. But there's new life that we have hope in, that we will never die. That we will never die because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.